folks, and welcome to a lovely, lovely rainy day. And that's not sarcasm. We here at Game Over are big fans of the rain. We fully endorse it. All rain of all types, including, for example, Rainn Wilson. And movies like Rain Over Me or Purple Rain, the song. All rain in all forms. We're down for it. But once again, it is the premier video game show hosted by two brothers and nobody else in this case, only on 101. I guess I can't say that anymore. On 101.5, currently. On 101.5 FM every Monday from 5 to 5:30. And also, wherever you get your podcasts, we are on a podcast. We're everywhere. You can find us. You know, wherever you want to listen to us, you can listen to us. The power is yours, people. We've put the power of video game knowledge in the palm of your hands. Wasn't that Spider-Man 2? The power of the sun in the palm of my hand. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, fasten your seatbelts. That's how I feel. I'm fastening my seatbelts. How are you doing now?
I'm good. My mood considerably improved when it started raining on the way here.
Yeah.
So that's always nice.
I had a guitar teacher. And by the way, if you're in the Winnipeg area and you want to learn guitar, I cannot endorse Barry G. Player enough. You can find him on Facebook and then message him there. That's really how I got in contact with him. He's a phenomenal, phenomenal guitar teacher. The problem was I was a terrible, terrible student. But that certainly wasn't his fault. And so I studied with him for a couple years and until basically our parents said, we're not paying for this anymore. And I'm like, sorry, Barry, I can't afford these lessons. I'm buying too many damn video games.
Yeah.
But anyway, so his girlfriend, at least at the time, I don't know if they're still together, but he always said that he felt, as a musician, that rain made him more creative.
Huh.
And so rainy days, he thought, were his indoor creative days. And then his girlfriend was more extrovert, and so he wanted the sun out to be outside. So maybe, if you like the rain, you're like us, and you're just creative people, and that the rain stimulates those creative bones in your body. Maybe you like to be creating the sun. I don't know. This isn't really an airtight feel. Speaking of people, I think, this is my claim, there is no greater judge of character than whether or not, if I let you into my lane, do you give me a hand wave?
Yeah.
Instantly, I know whether I like you or absolutely despise you.
Yes.
And there's so much construction in Winnipeg these days. Just driving to the studio, I had to let two people in out of the goodness of my heart because they were stuck by construction, and neither of them waved at me. And I, you know, that's where you want to pull up next to me and like, who would have the nerve not to wave at me? Don't they know that I'm on the way to a very important radio show? I could have been late letting you people in, but no.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've rambled on for a few minutes here. It's the E3 is pretty much done and over with. It was a bit of a whirlwind. And there's a lot of news, some of what we talked about last week, although last week we mostly devoted our E3 special to the Pokemon Direct that happened before E3.
Yes, we did.
Whoops. So, now we have a little more time to talk about E3, although Pokemon did happen at E3, as did Fire Emblem, but I just wrote down a list of things here. We got Pokemon, we got Fire Emblem, we got Gears 5, we have Avengers, we have Breath of the Wild 2. That was a huge reveal and surprise. Baldur's Gate 3, which we didn't really talk about before because I don't think either of us have too much experience with it, but it sounds like it's going to be right up your alley. We have Telling Lies. I wrote that down because I heard an interview with the developer, and he sounds really cool. Watch Dogs seems like it's going in new and interesting directions. I didn't think I'd be able to say that. And, of course, some Smash Bros. Reveals. Yeah. So was there anything that we didn't talk about last week that in the week since has jumped out at you, or do you want to jump right into this list here?
Not so much. Like, the only thing of interest was that I didn't know until today who actually runs E3.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the ESA, I think they're called. And what I didn't, because they were back a couple of years ago when SOPA and PIPA were huge deals, they were the ones who were trying to throw the rest of the industry under the bus because they were actually on board with it. So it's like, I thought E3 was a stupid concept before, but now I actively want it to die.
Wow. Okay.
Well, so with that in mind, let's recap E3.
I mean, of the three major platforms to play games on, two of which weren't physically at E3 this year. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's it's already shrinking. And to be honest, I would be okay if more people took up like a Nintendo
Direct sort of thing.
And yeah. EA didn't even really have a press conference. They had the EA Play thing, whatever the heck that was.
Yeah.
Just Greg Miller being a jerk to people for a few hours. But yeah, you know, I don't know if I want it to die necessarily, but I certainly am more okay with developers being like, hey, here's our thing. Because we all consume it online anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, like the game magazines and IGN and Game Informer and all of them and the people who are more professional than us will just have to send people all over the country. But, you know, do that. And then if you have a demo, don't just release it to a few people at E3. Release it to the world, man. Yeah, let the world play your game.
Like how we used to do it. In the 90s.
Oh, boy. That's the oldest you've... That's the most over 30 you've sounded now that you've turned 30. Like how we used to do it back in the day where you could go to a video game store and play a real game. Okay. Let's not go there quite yet. So, actually, you know what? Let's stay in the negativity. Let's stay in that pocket. Because last week after we got off air, the thing later that night was the Square Enix conference. And I was like, what the heck? I mean, other than Avengers, what the heck do we really care about? Square Enix, they had some Kingdom Hearts 3 things. We've talked about Kingdom Hearts before on the show. Neither of us have played it. Matt hasn't played it. But the people out there, I'm sure they're excited for the DLC. Yippee-ki-yay for them. Really interesting thing that they revealed was the remake of Final Fantasy VII. But it looks like the battle system and the actual game that's being played is dramatically different. And it looks like for the better. It's more of a... The closest thing for you who probably hasn't seen the footage is more of like a Dragon Age thing where you can pause time or slow down time to be more strategic, but you're sort of controlling your character and their powers in real time. Looked very interesting, and a lot of people who are very passionate about Final Fantasy VII seem very excited about that. So maybe that's the time when we'll jump on and actually play it. Who knows?
Who knows?
I mean, because that's like, it's up there with, you know, Ocarina of Time as the games that people are just like, this! And like Ocarina of Time, Bioshock, Final Fantasy VII, they're in the same, The Witcher 3 now, they're in the same compartment of potentially, if for a certain person, the GOAT, the greatest of all time. But they, of course, revealed the Avengers game. And then shortly thereafter, they said, we've heard your feedback, and we're going to see what we can do.
Yeah.
Now, what I was really confused, first of all, I encourage people to go watch the footage so we don't have to entirely recap it. And also just listening, we only have a precious 30 minutes here. Listening to us just recap something you could see is a waste of time. I wasn't very excited about it. Like, I was actually disappointed, and like my heart kind of sank. I was like, oh, God, they blew it.
Yep.
And the one thing that I didn't get is people who are like, why didn't they get the actors' likenesses? Because this isn't a movie tie-in game.
Yeah.
This is the Avengers comics. Now they're in the game. Like, I didn't expect to look like Robert Downey Jr. The Spider-Man game, he doesn't look like, you know,
He doesn't look like
Tom Holland.
Yeah.
And no one complained about that. So that one I was a little confused at. That being said, they did kind of look like generic name brand or no name brand Costco,
yes,
Avengers.
They really did. The costuming looked terrible.
They were so non-distinct. And I think that's probably what they're going to go back and change, because God knows they can't change the gameplay, of which we saw very little.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean spliced into that cinematic was like 1 second at a time of gameplay. I think Thor throwing and like the Hulk running, I think that was gameplay. But that's really it. So we didn't see a demo. I listened to a podcast before this of people who did play a demo, and they said that they didn't enjoy it much better when they were playing it. They enjoyed it a little bit more. They said the Iron Man section, there was like a flying section, but for the most part, you're just kind of hovering around. It felt sort of Marvel Ultimate Alliance. They said the Black Widow section was terrible. And we're kind of confused the way this game is going. Like, it's not going to be pay to win. They were big on that, right?
Yeah.
It's no pay to win, but there is going to be microtransactions. There is going to be DLC. And the main campaign is single player, but the thing is multiplayer. Apparently there's going to be loot, but it's going to be cosmetic. Like, no one, there's going to be leveling up. We don't really have a handle on what the heck this game is. Yeah, it sounds like there's a word for it. It's a cluster fun. You know, that's basically what this sounds like. It doesn't sound particularly appetizing in any way, shape, or form.
Video game, so it's cluster truck.
That's right, cluster truck. My mistake. That's the last time we'll say that on air, just in case one of us has a Freudian slip, though. Can't be risking that too much. But, I mean, maybe before Spider-Man and before Arkham, this would have been impressive.
Not anymore.
Yeah, but we're so far beyond that now that yeah. I think a lot of people were massively disappointed with what could have been a show-stealing game reveal. What did you think?
Yeah, basically, well, I mean, you kind of said it.
Whoops.
It's a huge disappointment. I would have found this unimpressive in, like, when did the first Arkham game come out? I would have found it unimpressive before that.
Yeah, 2009.
And now it's just even more so. And then, like, the thing is, and I was watching Jim Sterling's Winners and Losers for E3, mm-hmm. and he talked about this, and one thing I really like that he said is just, can we just make and sell games again instead of everything being this service model that they're going to perpetuate through years? How about you just make me something for $60, I buy it, and it's mine, it's done now.
Yeah.
Like, I miss that.
Which, it's so strange considering God of War blew the industry up for doing exactly that. God of War has no DLC, it has no microtransactions, nothing, and yet people talk about it, rightfully so, like it's the second coming of Jesus Christ himself. And you might have thought that the E3 after, I mean, maybe it's going to take up a couple years to be reactionary to that, but it didn't feel like it this year.
No. And it's just, ugh. And the Avengers thing, like, Endgame was so huge. You had, this was your moment. You could have done so much with this, and it looks so generic and so boring.
You know what confuses me? They have the right, I mean, they're doing what DC did with the movies. Sorry to Tiago out there, who's a big DC fan. But that's okay, he's not listening. DC jumped to Justice League after having one movie.
Yeah.
That's exactly, I mean, Wonder Woman came after. Or I guess they had Batman versus Superman, whatever. But that's exactly what Marvel did. They're just like, we have a Spider-Man game, it's good. Now an Avengers game.
Yeah.
And, like, why didn't, if you're going to do this, why didn't you have the individual games first?
Yeah.
You know,
you got that right with the movies.
Yeah. I don't think that was specifically a successful movie strategy. You could use those games to figure out, how do people want to control these characters? You know, and then maybe you have a diet version of how that game plays in your main game. But still do that. Like, you got all these filmmakers to cooperate. I think you can get game studios to cooperate, too.
Because we've had, like, I don't know, something on the order of a dozen Spider-Man games, maybe more, in the last 20 years, and you've gotten the web swinging right exactly twice.
Yeah.
This takes practice.
Yeah, it does. It was a dud. And then especially to hear people who played it, I was like, oh, maybe the gameplay was better. No, not particularly. That was kind of disappointing. Plus, Taskmaster. Why the heck was Taskmaster here? He was in Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And it's a different Taskmaster. He looks different. He sounds different. And Spider-Man dealt with him. How stupid can you be? Like, Spider-Man talked about, oh, the Avengers are on the West Coast. And then sure enough, they show up in San Francisco. They're talking about this Marvel Games universe that's all going to be connected. Yeah. That sounds awesome. So why are you using the same bad guy twice? Yeah. So soon? Makes no sense.
No.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Ugh. It makes you feel gross.
That's the word. Ugh.
Okay. So let's move on to some stuff that you won't care about. Gears 5. I listened to an interview with the developer. I'll probably get it when it's on sale. I enjoy the gameplay enough of Gears 4. They announced for people who are into it, though, that it is going to have a Terminator tie-in. So,
okay.
There you go. If you're into that type of thing,
vaguely appropriate.
You'd probably enjoy both of those. Baldur's Gate 3. I thought Baldur's Gate was a BioWare thing. So, hand to God, I'm admitting my ignorance here. Is that what you thought, too? Right now, before I tell you what this is, what do you think Baldur's Gate is? June 17, 2019.
You mean what the gameplay is?
What is this thing?
Well, it was a game that Yahtzee hated. That's all I know.
Exactly. It's not. Well, I mean, it could be a game that Yahtzee hated, too. This is a D&D game. This is a game that's made in connection with Wizards of the Coast. But it's apparently Baldur's Gate is I don't know the Forgotten Realms map well enough, but Baldur's Gate is an actual place in the Forgotten Realms map that you can actually go to. And so BioWare took a swing at one of them, and there was a second one, but it had been gone for a long, long time.
Yes, it has.
And the developer of the third one is Larian Studios, and they made the Divinity series, including Divinity Original Sin 2, which neither you or I have finished. We both kind of started it, realized this is probably fantastic, but I don't have the time.
Yeah.
And then stopped. There are people on there, and I've seen them, they are Legion, who will tell you that Divinity Original Sin 2 is the best RPG of the last 20 years. Those people exist.
Yes.
These are, I mean, this is a proper, this is proper nerd crap, right? This Divinity. So, like, this seems like the perfect fusion. If you're going to have someone who's going to take this Wizards of the Coast, Dungeons and Dragons actual license and convert it into a real life game, who do you want doing it? The people who made probably the next closest thing for the past several years.
Yeah.
So knowing all of that and the fact that when we play D&D, because I prefer video games to tabletop games, I usually leave and I go home and I'm like, what's the closest to giving me that feeling? And so if it gets me there, boy, that'll be real exciting. You got the right studio, you got the right franchise, you got a lot of hype. It could be good. Could be good. What do you think?
Well, yeah, if it is that, then I'm very excited for it. Although, like a large part of the experience of D&D that I like is the being around the table with other people and the ridiculous nature of the stuff that happens.
Yeah, there is that.
Because I did sort of, like, the last campaign that I ran, I tried an experimental thing where I, as the DM, I basically rolled no dice.
Mm.
Everything was sort of on the players, and I kind of liked that because I was the story guy, and then everything that happened was their fault.
I
want to
do the opposite. I want to do a D&D campaign where only the Dungeon Master rolls dice.
Oh.
And you, like, I can have my character sheet and declare what I'm doing, but you roll. So it's like, it's a total mystery what's going to happen. That could be kind of fun.
That's an interesting notion. Good luck finding enough people to play it, though.
Yeah.
I would totally do that, but.
Well, we both know how busy you are, especially with your thesis coming up. So you know what? Maybe that'll be a post-master's thing. We'll do something, something truly goofy like that. Okay. I already talked about how exciting Telling Lies sounds. We're going to get to the Nintendo press conference in a second here because I think it's. I mean, we talked more about Microsoft last week. If I had to rank them, I would probably put Microsoft number one because they had some crazy reveals, a lot of very interesting things. George R. R. Martin, the Elden Ring thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, Cyberpunk 2077. There's been gameplay. A lot of gameplay has been not necessarily revealed to the people, although apparently there's going to be an open demo at PAX, which is coming up later in the summer. But actual game journalists who have played Cyberpunk 2077 say this is the real deal. This is like real, real good. So that's got me very excited. But the other interesting thing was Watch Dogs. So Watch Dogs is, I think people have an interesting feeling about that. You tend to go like either everything's the greatest thing or the worst thing ever. I was re-listening to our podcast on the way over here so we didn't talk about the same stuff again.
Yeah.
And then you were like, of course, which Watch Dog was terrible. I'm like, it wasn't terrible, but it was only okay, which I guess in this landscape is terrible. Like you kind of, you're a good personification of how the internet goes. It's like, it got a 6. That's the worst game ever. It's above average, you'd think, with the way, but you know, you're right.
Yeah.
It showed up. It's the, I think, poster boy for a demo or a trailer that looks way better than it's ever going to be.
Yeah.
The first one was okay. Very empty world. Didn't live up to its promises. The second one kind of fizzled out. But this one seems to be really ambitious. The idea is you can recruit literally anybody. So apparently there's 20 archetypes, and they've talked about how they have some voice modulation technology to make everyone voiced. But yeah, you can be walking down the street and you can be like, I don't know what your organization is, but you could say, hey, 45-year-old clean-cut lawyer, I'm going to do you a few favors and then you're gonna be a playable character for me. Or hey, as they had in the trailer, 78-year-old grandma, same thing.
Yeah.
And you could play the game with either of them. That is incredible. Daunting, I think, is the best way to phrase that. And if they could pull it off, again, huge if.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of impressed at how ambitious Ubisoft is being with this franchise.
Well, they were like the first one was ambitious too, in theory, and that's why a lot of people were excited for it. And then it came out, and it was just Grand Theft Auto, but with more techie stuff.
I think I remember specifically thinking to myself while playing this game, this will be good. Like they didn't get Assassin's Creed perfect the first try either. And now it's a billion-dollar franchise with its own movie. This will be good. So is this the one? Is this their Assassin's Creed 2? Assassin's Creed gone on the second try?
Yeah.
Who knows? Okay, so let's move on to Nintendo, because that's where we're obviously, we're not even going to deny that we're major Nintendo fans. I think your theory of your feelings on the Nintendo conference just vary at how much you like these franchises. So it had little things. Again, you can watch the conference if you want. It had things like Luigi's Mansion 3 was announced. Yep. There's Luigi's Mansion 2 that kind of slid under the bus. I played Luigi's Mansion 1 at my friend Justin's house. Shout out to Justin, who was an early adopter because he was an only child and got everything the day it came out. Justin. There's always a Justin.
Yeah, but we got two copies of everything.
That's right. Yeah, we were more prepared for the Pokemon games than he was. That's right. But I played Luigi Mansion 1. It was a lot of fun back in the day. This next one looks really cool. So, you know, I got a Switch. I'm addicted to it. I'll probably pick it up at some point. I'll be quite honest with you. But the big things was the Smash announcements. Two DLC characters revealed, and they both went along with the leak, so I believe that means that potentially Doomguy and Microsoft, or in Minecraft Steve, could be the next two people, if the rumors are true.
Doomguy. Like,
I can't imagine that. That's what makes it feel like it's gotta be fake.
Like, in Mortal Kombat, sure, but Smash Bros., like, Minecraft Steve, totally on board with that. That makes complete sense.
Agreed.
To me. But Doomguy?
There's a new Doom game coming out, so we'll have to see. And it's on Switch. So, again, we'll have to see. Who knows? But the big thing was, first of all, they revealed Hero from Dragon Quest. He's another sword fighter, but you could change his palette to be like a different heroes from different Dragon Quest games. That is basically the same moveset. Sure.
Okay.
That sounds good. As someone who's currently playing Fire Emblem Sacred Stones to relive the glory days, I'm a little bit salty that Ephraim, the only Lance Lord in Fire Emblem, didn't make it, and they couldn't just make, like, Chrom a Marth skin or something like that. That's a bit of a shame. And then the huge thing for people was a Banjo and Kazooie are joining.
Which, again, makes total sense to me.
Total sense. People love this. You and I, we were more of a Spyro people. I feel like some people were Spyro, some people were Banjo-Kazooie, some people were Crash. Yeah. And then, yeah, Rare, now currently owned by Microsoft, and Nintendo got together. They shook hands. They were like, yeah, let's just do this. There's no reason not to. Why not?
Yeah.
I love that. Plus, Microsoft and Nintendo are getting along very well right now. You can play, log into Xbox Live on your Switch.
Yeah, well, because we're playing Minecraft that way.
We haven't even talked about how wacky that is.
Yes.
That's pretty weird. Okay, so Pokemon. There was some good news. There was a heaping helping of bad news. And then Fire Emblem was pretty much only good news, so we're going to have to divide the remaining 8 minutes among the two of them. Pokemon, the good news. Let's get it out of the way. Wild Area looks incredible. Yep. Looks like it's going to be huge. The Pokemon look like they fit. Everything about that, you can watch the gameplay that they did at the treehouse. Phenomenal. Chef kiss emoji.
Yeah.
Fantastic. What we don't like, which is now being called creatively Dexit, you know, because it's set in England.
Yeah.
Is the fact that they announced that because, and I thought his justification for it was terrible, but because they didn't want Pokemon fans to wait too long in between games, not the entire national Dex will be available in Pokemon Sword and Shield. You're looking at me as if this is new information.
No, it's
but I'm
not
sure
new
you've
information.
Heard this.
I knew.
So what? Only the Pokemon that are in the... I forget the name of the place, even. I just have the name of the Fire Emblem place in my head. Only the people that are in the Sun or Sword and Shield Pokedex will be playable in that game. So you can put them in Pokemon Home, but you can't actually import them to the game unless they're in the Dex. How do you feel about that? Quick take. Hot take.
That would be my quick take.
It's just
terrible. Mostly because, like, this is on the heels of Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee. And the biggest complaint I have against that is that there's just, like, you don't have access to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And as someone who watches a lot of Poketubers, one of the things that, like, people just hate this generation. Because, like, for competitive battling purposes, you just can't. Because you can't access everybody.
Yeah.
So they're back. They're still battling in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon.
Yeah.
And so for them to come out with a new generation where you still can't use everyone?
Yeah. So, first of all, I think that I'm going to have a couple of real steaming hot takes here. I think that his justification was terrible. Because most people are going to say, just delay the game. I don't care. Delay the game
we'll
I can have my favorite game. Yeah. Well, wait. Here's my steaming hot take. This is where it's going to be an unpopular opinion. I don't mind not having everybody because I've never been a catch-em-all person. I don't think I've ever filled up a full national dex. It's just never particularly appealed to me. So me personally, not that bothered. Me respecting the Pokemon fans' wishes, and that's what people got into this franchise for, that's pretty upsetting. And here's what I think. I was rolling around in my head. This is what actually angers me the most, I'll say. If you have, let's say they cut it in half. Let's say they have like 400 Pokemon in the game. That's still a lot, but whatever. 400 Pokemon in the game. The battles don't look that much better. And you still don't have them following you. And you, like, if you have half the Pokemon in the game, if you're cutting it down, there's no excuse for there not to be actual contact in the battles. Like, I was thinking, part of my problem with Dynamax is you're in the stadium, and I guess they thought that you need to get huge to fill it. But a real Pokemon battle, the way it is in your brain and in the anime, would fill the stadium anyway, because Pokemon would be very mobile, right? They wouldn't be moving around. And yet, the battle animations haven't progressed at all. So for you to say, hey, it's going to be too much work to have everybody, so we're going to focus on making it very good with these few Pokemon that we have and still not update, that's what I actually have the bigger problem with. You're going to cut it down? Sure. Like Let's Go did? Sure. But you're not going to innovate? That's a problem. Like Let's Go innovated. It had Pokemon following you, could ride half of them. It was really cool. That was a test case. I think that they're stumbling here. Maybe this means that Pokemon Sword and Shield 2, Pokemon Spear and Gun, or whatever the heck they're going to be. maybe that means they're going to have more, but I still don't like that. There needs to be a bigger step here.
Yeah, if you're going to do that, if you're going to take something out, you got to put something in.
Yeah, and Dynamaxing is not the answer. No. The wild area could have been the answer.
Yeah.
But something else.
Yeah, and I agree with you. It's been too long since they've innovated the battle system.
Yeah.
It's way too long.
Agreed. Okay, so let's talk about something that we unequivocally love, and that is the more I see of Fire Emblem Three Houses, the more I adore it. Okay, so a few months ago, actually 1 month ago, someone called Thanny Bomb on the Fire Emblem Reddit page leaked a whole bunch of information. We didn't know if it was true or not, but they came from their regular account, so who knows. I won't talk about that leak necessarily. I'm going to read the new features list from the Fire Emblem Wiki here, because it's the easiest compilation of news. But feel free to go check that out, because this new trailer confirmed it. It was not a gameplay trailer. It was a story trailer. They then had half an hour of gameplay on the treehouse. Again, go watch that. It looks fantastic. And the gameplay trailer, I suppose it's a spoiler, but it was revealed in the trailer, revealed that there is a 5-year time jump.
Yes.
So this game is going to be set into two parts. First of all, the monastery part, where you're teaching everyone. You're not going to be romancing any of your students at the monastery. 5-year time jump, they graduated, you've moved on. Then you can romance your students. It's not weird, people! It's not weird.
It's not as weird.
It's not as weird. But it's better.
Yes.
You're not actively seducing your students. That's what was really important. I love this. The characters get brand new designs. We really only saw the three main characters get new designs. Pilot's hair color changed. I love it. I love everything that I've seen. So what that you have seen of the new of Fire Emblem Three Houses news? Do you like?
Well,
or do you want me to read you some more information here?
Well, I agree with that piece of news is really exciting. Although I'm interested to see now, I'm trying to think of subsequent playthroughs of the game if the first half won't feel very slow, because it sounds like it's you do a whole bunch of setup, and then you have a Fire Emblem game.
Yeah,
basically that's what it sounds like, and I'm wondering what that experience will be like.
Yeah, you know what? I was worried that they were showing too much of the game, but then I think this is going to be... I don't think we're going to find much more story about what happens after the time jump. So something happens, and then you're in... I heard them literally call it the war phase. So something happens there, but...
So there's a war.
They're being very tight-lipped about what exactly happens in the war phase, which I really dig, actually. It's like, hey, you know, you got to actually play the game. You thought we were showing a lot? We're not. There's still a huge chunk of game we're holding back. But I am wondering if they're just going to, like, all the stuff that they're talking about, you know, you can do this, you can do that, you can have dinner with your students, you can lesson plan them. Are they throwing all of that out in the second half?
Yeah, it seems kind of weird.
Or is it going to be, like, a smaller... we'll see.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like I said, I dug up an old copy of Sacred Stones to play. My hype is through the roof, excuse me, for this game. I am unbelievably excited. Even some things that are changing, like... there's no more... the weapon durability is different. Our weapons will break, and then you can repair them. So they'll just have very weakened stats. But you can actually repair them in advance. Magic is going to work more like it did in Echoes. There's going to be certification exams. Pretty much any class can use any weapon, magic excluded. You just have to do extra training in them. There's no more there's no children, which we know is confirmed. But it sounds like they were like, hey, people like children for the ability to customize their... these specific units. Why don't we just let them customize everyone? Yeah. You can customize everybody.
Yeah. Well, what it sounds like is for the first section of the game at the monastery, it's here's all the characters. So now you have no excuse not to use some of them. Train the squad you like and then play a Fire Emblem game with them. And I really like that concept.
It's boy, oh boy, it sounds good. But it's a little over a month away, so it's coming soon, but not quite soon enough. However, speaking of soon up, we got another fantastic episode of TV Talkers coming your way. We will see you next week. Stay tuned, everybody, and have a great week.